This is a NorCal Sailing podcast. In June 1987, a Northern California legend sailed for the first time. Her name was Rocket 88. The D-class catamaran was the brainchild of Serge Pond, Howard Spruett, and a crew of Santa Cruz builders and friends. Here's designer Howard Spruett talking about Rocket 88.
We went up and measured Beowulf, and I first met Beowulf in 72 when Steve Dashew owned it, and I was struck by it. This is because I was a Hobie Cat sailor, and I look at this thing, and it's five times as big as a Hobie Cat. So then the boat appeared up here, fell up, and Foster City bought the boat. And at the time, there was a lot of stuff floating around about starting up of professional sailing. And the guy that had Beowulf was selling it, trying to find sponsors and do all kinds of things. And we went up there and cooked dinner for this guy, and he let us measure his boat because we're going to build a Class D catamaran. And so we came back, and I drew it up, and Serge took it seriously and started building the boat. The beginning of Serge was that Bill Lee brought an old, worn-out C-class catamaran up here. And Bob O'Larson was using it and broke it up. They brought it in, put it all back together, and sailed it a little bit and sold it to Serge. So Serge was a neophyte at the time and really believed he had a Class C catamaran. And he invited some guy up from Southern California to crew with him in a regatta. And the guy came up here based on the fact that he had a Class C catamaran to race. And the guy shows up and looks at the boat and says, "That is not a Class C catamaran," and went back to L.A. That's where I came in the picture. Serge came and got me to go crewing with him. And the boat was not a Class C, and it didn't keep up well with... One of the things that they did when they put it back together is they picked about 40 feet of sail area off of it so that they could sail around Mile Buoy and not worry about it. Serge decided he wanted a high-performance boat, and this he came to the reality this was not it. And he came to me and started talking to me about it, and I laughed at him, told him it was impossible, you know, that you don't know what you're getting into. And I, to this day, don't believe he really knew what he was getting into, but he got into it and did it for quite a while. I drew some lines, and Serge started making some models that looked kind of like the lines that I drew, and he decided, okay, this is what we're going to do. So we built this boat. It was a fold-up boat. Built two halves, cut out a profile, taped them center line together, folded it out till it looked like a boat, and then taped it all together. And about the time that it was getting ready to be totally completed, I was getting ready to move to Hawaii, which I did for about 7 years. And so I went to Jay Crum and pleaded with him to help Serge, because Serge was still pretty neophyte at the time. And he had this, from our perspective, very large object that was, you know, D-class catamaran, 500 feet of sail, 32 feet long. Serge made his boat 34 feet long. And it was a little bit wider than the D-class. And then Alex Kozlov came up and visited us. I don't know, you know who he is. He had a legitimate D-class all-carbon fiber boat down in L.A. that Dennis Connor and that gang down there used for a trial boat when they were doing the 88 America's Cup. So they used it as a trial boat to teach the America's Cup guys about catamarans. They brought in Randy Smythe, which, you know, really helped. Kozlov came up here and says, "Yeah, well, I know it's too wide and I know it's too long, but it's a D-class. Put his blessing on it. It was wonderful." Basically, we're probably going to be 300 pounds heavier than his boat, so he felt that the base was covered. Beowulf got put together and got, they had, it took them, oh, half a dozen races before they beat Beowulf. And then that never happened again when they figured the boat out. I think they still have the three bridge record also. The new owners have put a lot of time and money in it. You know, it's completely different boat, same hulls. They've got a code zero for it, and, you know, so it's gone from being scary to being terrifying. I can't imagine how they keep all that sail area up, but they got good people on it, so they're doing it. Surge was a little bit disappointed at the weight. It came out to being around 1,300 pounds, and he'd been telling himself throughout the project that it was going to be 1,000 pounds. He kept making it bigger. You know? Yes. And we didn't have carbon fiber. It was being built on a very strict budget. Serge was, you know, he was a janitor at the county, building this thing that's going off against the world. It was pretty amazing. He'd get off work and come in and to the shop and work for several hours every day. It was, you know, guy's a trooper, you know. It was E-glass and 10 millimeter foam. Just built a 40-foot long table, waxed it, glassed it, you know, with melamine. So gel coated it, laminated on the 10-ounce and three-quarter ounce matte and 10-ounce glass, and put the foam down on top of that. Didn't do the interior, so because once if you do it, you can't bend it. So we bent it all up and then whipped Surge inside of the boat to glass the inside. It was, we had a few go-arounds, but, you know, oh, man, I don't want to get involved. You wanted this boat. Yeah, but I didn't know. There was a lot of that going on. So anyway, he got his boat. He ended up, you know, he's been enthusiastic about it for closing on 30 years. Still part of the team. So that's all good. And I was trying to get Serge's attention. So what I did is I, in a shop that I had over on the west side, at high ceilings, so I built a shelf 18 feet off the floor and made him go up there and sit there. And said, okay, think about jumping off. And I said, that means don't ever cleat your main sheet, Serge. The original rudders were transom hung, and Serge decided he wanted to put up with the agony of wading out into the water every time they launched the boat to put spades in it. So they did that, which it needed, because one of the things we didn't realize when I was drawing the boat and going for design philosophy, I put a lot of extra freeboard forward because we're going to be sailing it out here in the ocean and I wanted. So it's probably got 8 inches more freeboard than is required. But then when almost none of their racing happens here, so we could have made it lighter by taking the forward freeboard down. But they've solved that by putting a code zero on it. Now they need that. I had this interview with Jay, and I said, okay, Jay, how far down do you drive the bow when you're reaching? He goes, just the boat comes up out. It lifts out. He says, there's been times when the bow and the rudder were out at the same time. So they were reaching into Stockton Yacht Club after the ditch run one time, and they'd been running, and they brought it up on a reach, sailing across. And weather hull comes up, leeward hull sails up out of the water, rudders waving in the air. They got it back down. It was all, you know, but it was an adrenaline moment.
Yeah.
He's capsized it. But I don't think it wasn't a pitch ball. It was just a sail over having an IQ failure. We had dinghies and small catamarans that go faster than a 12-meter, sail circles around them. And I was always a bit upset with the fact that people were pouring all those money into those lead mines. And if they really wanted to have to be as wonderful as they think they are, they need to get into multi-hulls. And now they've blown me away. I go, I'm looking at what they're doing now. I'm going, wow. They've raised the bar. I can't even see it anymore.